Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning. Welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Start things off with golf, as we normally do at the 8:30. Barry Besson is in the studio, and Barry, you had the conference meet this past week.
Yes, we did. We had the conference meet. We had two events this week. We led that off with the conference meet on Tuesday in Marshall to kind of to wrap up our conference season, determine the team champion overall, and then our all-conference teams as well. Kind of like playing in Bizarre World with winds gusting to about 45 miles an hour and you know, balls that wouldn't stay where they're supposed to, putts, people hitting putts rolling up and wind blowing them back to their feet. We even had one hole, the 14th hole, which is on the northwest end of the course where it was completely unobstructed, where we actually had to basically just change the hole, and coaches voted to just had to give everyone a par because the green became unplayable. Wow. Because of the slope of the green, and there was nothing stopping the wind, so the balls were just... Maybe guys were standing over putts, and the balls would roll away before they'd even hit them, and it was quite severe. I think for the kids, it was more about survival than it was anything else. It'd definitely be the hardest round they ever played. So it kind of made things a little topsy turvy for the day. But going through the results here, there were 13 teams. We ended up fifth for the day at 355, which is probably our highest score of the year, but given the conditions, it's expected. The conference tournament of the day was won by Mineota, who also won the regular season the overall season championship. It came into the day basically between them and Central Minnesota Christian, but Central Minnesota Christian had a bit of a struggle that day. Mineota played solid golf at 336. Dawson Boyd came in second at 345. KMS came in right behind them at 349. McRae actually was fourth at 354. We were 355. Cambia sixth. Central Minnesota Christian came in seventh, which was kind of a big surprise. Lakeview was eighth, DMB ninth, YME 10th, Community Christian 11th, and Ortonville and RCW played but didn't have complete teams, so that was the 13 teams. Individually, event was won by Owen Dolliger from Mineota, who ended up being the conference MVP, shot 77, great score in those conditions. Wow. And then there was a 78 from David Van Engen from Canby, so there were only two scores under 80 for the day. Usually you get quite a few more than that, but the conditions were pretty significant, impacting everybody's play. Individually for us, we were led by Noah Arndt with an 84. Aaron Bond had an 87, and Noah came in sixth. Aaron came in 13th on the day. Then we went to Griffin Kranz with a 92. Caden Stender at a 92, Harris Borsted at a 92, and then Carson Tilbury at a 97 to round out our scoring. On the day, we also named the all-conference team. There were 20 players. As I mentioned, Owen Dolliger from Mineota was conference MVP. We placed three players on the all-conference team. Noah Arndt, Griffin Kranz, and Caden Stender all made the all-conference team. So again, congratulations to them on that honor. Definitely earned, especially on a day like Tuesday. So we got done with Tuesday, and we turned around and played again on Wednesday in Benson at the Benson Invitational, which turned out to be just the opposite. It was kind of the ideal day you draw up. It was 75 or so degrees. There was just a little bit of breeze. Perfect, maybe the best conditions we played in all year, just perfect conditions. So we played a 12-team field. A few teams we'd seen the day before down at Marshall, and then we had a couple of section teams that we don't see often or not at all. We saw Benson, and we've only seen a couple times ACGC was there, BB was there, some, you know, from our section we haven't seen yet this year. But we ended up playing pretty well and winning the tournament with a 327 to come in first. Benson came in second, and their home course. Of course, the 335, Mineona, the conference champion, we were able to get them. They came in third at 336. We were able to turn that around. Dawson Boyd also tied for third with 336 of Mineona. Canby was fifth at 343. KMS was sixth, 358. Then it was Osaka, seventh, ACGC, eighth, Royalton, ninth, BBE, tenth, Kimball, Eden Valley, Watkins, 11, and Community Christian was 12th to round out the field. The tournament was won by Lane Strowski from Canby, shot a nice 75, three over par. Owen Dolliger from Mineota second at 77. Connor Larson from Benson was third at 78. Griffin Crayons was fourth at 79. And then we also had Noah Arndt placed seventh. Much different conditions for us. The rest of the team, as we said, Griffin was 79, Noah was 81. Noah actually was about probably no more than 6 inches from his first ace on one of the par threes. Pretty impressive shot that I was fortunate to be there to see, and I thought it was going in. It just stopped right next to the hole. Nice tap-in birdie, though. Aaron Bond shot 83. Nice day for him. Harris Borsted as well shot 84. Carson Tilbury shot 89, and then Caden Stender had a 1-1. A little bit of a tough day for Caden. Got in some water and trees on his last few holes. And if you've played the Benson course, you'll know that there are plenty of trees. Mm-hmm. So it is probably the tightest course around here. But I'm very happy with the kids responding and hopefully kind of peaking at this time of the year. When you're going to play well at that tournament, which always has a good field, that's a good win.
Okay. That completes your regular season?
Yes, our regular season finished on Wednesday.
Okay. So, and then up and coming?
Upcoming, we have day one of the Section 5A tournament on Wednesday at Eagle Creek in Wilmer, starting at 9 o'clock. It will be tee times instead of, usually we play shotgun start where everybody starts once. The sections we go tee time, so everyone goes off the same tee yet. But the event starts at 9. And then day two will be Wednesday the 27th, also at 9 o'clock. There will be a cut after the first day. They take the top four teams plus, I think, about a quarter, the top quarter of the individuals that are not on those four teams, and anybody that's tied for any of that last spot automatically goes on. They don't play anything off, so there will be a cut after the first day.
So back to back days, 18 holes.
Yeah, back to back Wednesdays. We go Wednesday.
Last year
we ended up going back to back days because we had a rain out on the first day, so we ended up playing a Tuesday Wednesday, but which isn't bad. But we're going Wednesday, so we get a week in between to kind of prep and regroup and see where everything falls. It's good and bad. It's a good time to maybe work on some things, but it's a long time to wait and kind of stew on whatever the previous day's results were, provided, of course, you advance.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck in day one, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
All right. Sounds good.
Barry Bessman on Boys Golf. After the break, we'll be talking girls' golf with Kip Stender.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
The Dawson Sentinel is proud to be a part of the Dawson community and salutes the following Dawson Boyd graduates. Riley Kosted, Carmen Larson, Gunnar Liebel, Taya McKenney, Aiden Menning, Macy Moan, and Evan Mork. New beginning, new chapter, new endeavors, and new challenges. Congratulations, Dawson Boyd graduating class from the Dawson Sentinel.
See a movie this weekend at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, May 15th through Monday, May 18th in theater number one. It's Michael, the story of Michael Jackson. A lot of great music there. That's rated PG-13, Michael in theater one. In theater two, it's the last weekend for The Devil Wears Prada 2, and that's rated PG-13. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Good morning, yeah. Again, we start with the golf at 8:30, and then Barry is done, and Kip is on the phone. So let's hear about Tuesday's event with you, with the girls.
Yeah, we had our conference championship in Marshall on Tuesday. Course was in good shape, but very windy, so everybody's got played in the same conditions, so you can't really say much about it other than just do your best and keep plugging away. Team-wise, sixth place was Miniota with a 444. Camby finished fifth with a 423. Lakeview had a 410 for fourth. Community Christian was third with a 382. We were second with 374, and Dawson Boyd was first with a 351. So team-wise, Dawson was the overall conference championship between the North and the South. And we finished third overall. I believe Camby won all the South events, so they had the points for the overall team deal. First, individual-wise, the medalists, the top five, tied for fifth was Hope Reed and Kate Alstead with 88. Fourth was Madison Richter from Camby with an 87. Claire Molly Halverson finished third. Her and Claire Stratmon were tied with 85. Scorecard playoff, Claire finished second. And then the winner medalist on the day was Alyssa Swedinski, shooting a nice round of 80. Wow. And was the overall conference leading scorer for the girls this year. So she was the outstanding golfer of the conference. So overall, I thought the girls did pretty well in those conditions. You know, just had to keep plugging away. The wind affected their putts a little bit. Definitely their shots into the wind were going to be a lot shorter, and side winds also moved the ball a little bit. So especially out on the Rose, there's a corner called the Rose Corner, Bud Rose, I believe, kind of like the A-Man's Corner. So there's three holes across the road out by the airport, so that's wide open out there. So that brings us to the section championship the next two Wednesdays in Eagle Creek.
Okay.
So,
and last year you got rained out of the first one, so you went Tuesday, Wednesday, but back-to-back, but now you got a few days to practice after the first round if you qualify, and then go to the second round.
Yeah, the weather looks, you know, pretty good, just a yep. little cooler than right now. Actually, today we're practicing this morning over here in Eagle Creek, so that's where I'm at. And,
okay.
And course is in good shape, and greens are fast. They're not near as fast as Marshall's were on Tuesday, but they'll get them a little faster for sections probably.
Sure. Okay.
So yeah, it was Marshall's a good you know, practice. You know, tournament to get ready for this tournament. This is where things count, we say, and this is the ones you want to, you know, try to be peaking at the right time and you know, doing our best. So we're progressing. We'll give it our best shot. Three very good teams in the section, with Dawson Boyd, you know, leading Class A state in scoring average, and Community Christian, I think, is fourth in scoring average, and we're third. So
okay.
three really good teams in the Class A.
Okay. All right.
And we had something I forgot to mention. We had three all-conference golfers Kate Alstead, Peyton Sachs, and Molly Halverson.
Good.
So that was a good honor for them. There were 12, only 12 girls that received all conference in the conference. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on day one of the section on Wednesday, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Kip.
All right. Thanks, Dick.
Kip Stender on girls golf. We'll take the break and be talking boys tennis after this.
Milan presents their 20th annual A Taste of Setten de Mai, happening Saturday, May 16th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Kibitzide Smorgasteve, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Musicians from noon to 2, the Yufka Parade at 2 o'clock. There will be traditional Norwegian arts, crafts, and food, children's activities. Things going on downtown Milan at Milan Village Art School, Arvus Museum, Billy Maple Trees, and vendors. Major supports from the city of Milan, Prairie Sun Bank, Milan Lions Club, and Milan American Legion, Post 359. Don't miss the fun. Setten de Mai in Milan, A Taste of Setten de Mai, Saturday, May 16th, Milan, Minnesota.
Heather Floral Nursery in Madison, Dawson, and Montevideo congratulates the following La Caparal Valley graduates: Gabe Lowry, Lindsay Ludvigson, Ian Nukafet, Kaylee Nelson, Michael Paul, Casey Piotr, Micaiah Poost, and Aiden Ramsbacher. Set out each day believing in your dreams. Know without a doubt that you were made for great things. Congratulations, La Caparal Valley graduates, from Heather Floral and Nursery.
Back here at the station, talking boys tennis with Austin Ireland. And you finished out your regular season this past Tuesday under the wind.
Well, it was, yeah, a little bit of a windy, a little bit of a kind of getting sandblasted most of the time. Yeah. Kind of where you're standing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No. We finished off the regular season. Finally having a season out school there. So had a home match out there, and that was some brutal day. But yeah, we took on the Redwood Falls. Redwood Valley Falls. They were our winners of the section last year, and they are now, and they're the number one seed for our section this year. They beat us 0. Just going to go through all the lineup here. Zach Lundeen is there, one singles. He played Hudson Geese, and Zach's been to state 3 times. So this is kind of his section. He's won it quite a few times. So, yeah, so he beat Hudson 6-0. And when you have a great player like that, you have a great practice partner as well. So everybody, gets a hit with him and with that. Usually, if you've got a great one, usually your number two is not going to be too far behind just because you got to have someone to practice with him. That's Rick Green. He beat Aiden Manning 6-0. At 3 singles, Pepe Martin, he ended up losing 6-2 to Zach Malachek. And then our 4 singles, Aaron Will, he did a decent job losing 6-1 to Zeke Rendin. Double play, that's kind of our stronger point usually, is Thomas Belt and Brody Nelson, two of our strong leaders. They ended up, they were up a set, or almost up a set, they ended up losing 6-4, 6-2. And then our number two doubles of Thatcher Johnson and Gannon Ceasing, they won the first set 6-1, and then to start that second set, I think Thatcher took a fall, and we ended up losing that second set. And then 6-2, and then dropping that third set 6-1. At third doubles, Max Boffin and Landon Hurstam, they took on A.J. Miller and Ethan Kyle. They ended up losing 6-0. And then, we had the exhibition. Zane and Gilman and Bentley Bergstrom, they ended up playing. I don't have the score for that one, but, yeah, they got a they got a couple matches in on that terrible, terrible, terrible day.
Yeah.
But at least we got it in, and, they're the one seed, so... We might be see them in the semis if we do play them again. But we're gonna jump into that if you don't mind, Dick. Our team section. It starts on Monday. If that gets rained out, they'll move to Tuesday. But we are seated right now as the number 5 seed, and so we will take on the 4 seed of Montevideo. We'll play at Monte, and this is exactly what we wanted. We played them first match of the year when it was
It wasn't as windy as Tuesday, but it was snowing that day. So, you know, some of our guys, it was their first, you know, like, you know, everyone had a first in a new spot. Everyone's in a new spot then. So now we've had a full season under our belt. We can really see, okay, well, how are we going to respond from our first matchup? So well, that'll play on, I think it's going to get rained out on Monday, so we'll play on Tuesday. And then that'll be at about 4:30 at Montevideo. And then if we win, we go on and play, we'll play Redwood the next day in Redwood.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, that's, it's crazy. You know, once it, we always joke about it, but it's pretty, there's a lot of truth to it. Once it gets nice out, the season's over.
Yeah. yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and then actually, more, and then we have our individual is on Thursday. That's in Redwood as well. So
okay.
The individual tournament that usually, it's 16 people bracket, each of the 18 sections, they have a, there's two brackets. You have a singles bracket and a doubles. So you can bring two people for singles and two doubles teams. So yeah, we're not careful. We could be done by next week.
Yeah, well, that's how the ball bounces, I guess, but it's the regular season is over, and now you go into tournament time, and with the team first, and then the individuals. So we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Austin.
Yeah, sounds good. And you know what? It should be fun. At least it's been a good year. You know, a good regular season. You know, like I said, we had a lot of losing six seniors out of the ten man lineup is tough. So doing that last year, and you know, being the five seed after losing all that, it's better than more than one could expect. So
well, they really improved throughout the regular season. So
absolutely. And our top guys, you know Aiden and Hudson, they did a really, I mean, they put in a lot of, and Thomas Belton too, you know, a lot of, they put in a lot of work in the off season, and that shows, you know. And when you have, especially when you lose a lot of spots and you graduate some kids, you need somebody to step up, and it's fun to, it's nice to see that, and it makes life a little easier for everyone else throughout the winter.
Sure,
so.
Sure does. Okay, thanks for the report, and we'll talk next Saturday morning, Austin.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Yep. After the break, we'll be talking the rest of the coaches. Darby Biergan's in the studio. He'll go first after the break.
The Lacaparo Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Trigger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borset Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotta Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Myland Fire Department, The Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
Lee Motor Company in Dawson says graduation is an exciting time and marks both an ending and a beginning. It's warm memories of the past and big dreams for the future. This graduating salute comes to you from Lee Motor Company in Dawson.
Let's take a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. The 20th annual Taste of Sitting to My in Milan going on from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. with a variety of activities we've been telling you about. Come and go bridal shower for Jessica Sigdahl, bride-to-be of Jaden Estigo. It'll be from 9:30 to 11:30 this morning at Grandma Joyce West's home at 720 Parkview Lane in Madison. Couple is registered at Amazon and at Target. Montevideo Fiesta Floral Plant Sale will be from 9 to noon today at the Montevideo Community Center in the Southtown Plaza. No early sales. Bring your own boxes to pick up your plants. Come and go 50th wedding anniversary celebration for Joel and Diane Benega will be today from 1 to 5 at the Kilowatt Community Center in Granite Falls. Come on over to the Marietta Community Center on Sunday from 11 to 1 for a chicken dinner, baked chicken, baked potato, green beans, and dessert and a beverage. The sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Committee, proceeds going to benefit local projects. They'll play bingo at 1 o'clock following the meal.
Takeouts and in-town deliveries are available in Marietta on Sunday. Just call 320-668-2187. Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Taking him out, I'm Roger Stern, Fox News. The U.S. walking with Nigeria killed a top ISIS terrorist. The president announcing this.
President Trump saying onto social, this was a complicated joint mission carried out by the U.S. military and the armed forces of Nigeria. The president indicates sources have been tracking Abu Bilal al-Manuki's, keeping the U.S. and Nigeria informed of what the ISIS leader has been doing. The president of Nigeria saying al-Manuki, along with several of his lieutenants, were killed during a strike on his compound in Lake Chad Basin. President Trump says al-Manuki, the second in command of ISIS globally, will, quote, no longer terrorize the people of Africa or help plan operations to target Americans.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Meanwhile, Israel says it killed the leader of the Hamas military wing. This from an airstrike. Israel says he was one of the last remaining Hamas commanders who helped plan the October 7th attack, which killed 1,200 people nearly 3 years ago. President Trump is reflecting on his summit with Chinese leader Xi Jinping and their discussion on Iran, which is blocking the Strait of Hormuz, sending gasoline prices sharply higher.
When you tell somebody you're going to have to pay a little more, not that much more, a little more for gasoline for a very short period of time, because we want to stop the threat of being blown to pieces by a lunatic, by a crazy person, and they are crazy, using nuclear weapons, everybody says that's fine.
Critics say that summit accomplished very little, a gallon of regular costing more than $4.50. And as many worry about the dangers of AI, Pope Leo has created a study group in artificial intelligence. He's preparing an encyclical which will likely call for an ethics-based approach to AI. America's listening to Fox News.
History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Mainly clear skies today, with daytime highs approaching 77. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 52. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Chance for storms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 71. Cloudy skies expected. Temps well below average Monday and Tuesday, with highs from the lower 50s to the upper 50s. Thunderstorms likely Monday. Slight chance for showers on Tuesday. Looking further out, 61 Wednesday, 68 Thursday, and 72 on Friday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly on Q92 Country. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
Heather Floral Nursery in Madison, Dawson, and Montevideo congratulates the following La Caparal Valley graduates: Gabe Lowry, Lindsay Ludvigson, Ian Nukafet, Kaylee Nelson, Michael Paul, Casey Piotr, Micaiah Poost, and Aiden Ramsbacher. Set out each day believing in your dreams. Know without a doubt that you were made for great things. Congratulations, La Caparal Valley graduates, from Heather Floral and Nursery.
The time at 4 minutes past nine. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning once again. We start the Coaches Show in the spring at 8:30, so we've already had both golf and boys tennis in, and now Darby Biergon is in the studio talking baseball. So, good morning, Darby.
Yeah, good morning, Dick.
You had a good week. Three games, Tuesday, Thursday, and yesterday. And gosh, what a crowd at Dawson!
Yeah,
I guess there was 500 people there.
You know, I looked up into the crowd about the fourth or fifth inning, and it was a packed house. It was a lot of fun to see that atmosphere. Yep. Fun for the players, fun for the coaches, fun for everybody there.
Yep.
So, yeah, we had a busy week. We had three conference games, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, like you said, and we came out on the weekend 2-1. So, on Tuesday, we played KMS after a long week before where we had five games in 5 days, I think it was, something like that. So, luckily, we had arms ready to go. We ended up winning that game 10-8. KMS is a strong team. They can hit the ball around the park, that's for sure.
Yes.
They see a lot of different teams up north that we don't see around here, so it's tough to kind of have a grasp on looking at the record how strong they actually are. And they're actually a very good hitting team, and they had a nice arm on the mound against us too. So on the day, we had 10 runs on 12 hits, and we had three errors, so we were able to put the bat on the ball too. Gavin Mortensen was 2-for-5 with one run and a double. Grant Bierke was 1-for-3 with two runs and a double. Nolan Smith was 2-for-4 with two runs and two doubles. So one double. So our top three hitters each had a double, which was really big. Nolan also had an RBI with his 2-for-4 outing. Brant Schomer scored two runs with a stolen base. Tanner Tilbury had a big day. He was 3-for-4 with a run, a stolen base, and two RBIs. Jackson Fernolds had a run. Carter Moen was 1-for-3 with a run and an RBI. Easton Fernolds was strong at the plate for us. He was 2-for-3, had three RBIs in the game-winning RBI. And Max Young went 1-for-2 with an RBI, and he had an insurance run right after Easton's go-ahead RBI. Max backed it up with another hit to give us that two-run lead and end up with a 10-8 win. So two huge hits out of our 8 and 9 hitters. They've been very strong down there. Great place for them. They've got good speed to bring it back to the top of the order, and they're doing a nice job down there. On the mound for us, Jackson Fernolds started. He went 1 2/3, struck out 2, walked 5, gave up 2 hits, 2 runs, and they both were earned. Nolan Smith came in. He threw 3 1/3, struck out 6, walked 1, gave up 6 hits, 6 runs, only 2 earned. Had a little defensive mistakes behind Nolan when he was on the mound. And then Carter Moen came in for the win, and he threw 2 innings, had 1 strikeout, gave up 3 hits, no runs, and 0 earned. So Carter came in a really tight spot and helped us out and worked very well in the mound. It was also the night we were able to recognize our seniors. We have Malcolm Lilliard, Nolan Smith, and Brant Schomer. So we took a little bit of time before the game to recognize our three seniors and their families for everything they've done for our program. And I just hope they understand that doesn't go unnoticed, everything they've done, and we really appreciate what the players and the families have done for us. So if you see them around, thank them for all the work they've done for La Caparal baseball. On Thursday, we went to Mineota, another conference game. We came out with a 4-2 win and a tight game. Mineota's been playing really good baseball. They've been beating up some teams down south. I think they beat Adrian, who is probably the number 2 seed in the section out of the south. So they beat them earlier in the week. So they're tough. They're a good team. And we came back with a 4-2 win on Thursday. We had 4 runs, 6 hits, and 2 errors in that game. Gavin Mortensen was 2-for-4 with a double, hit one to the fence that looked like it had a chance to go, and it was close. So, of course, he got some grief about not being in the weight room. Grant Bierke scored a run. Nolan Smith was 2 for 3 with 2 runs. Brant Schomer scored a run. Tanner Tilbury also had a double. He was 1 for 3. That thing maybe, if you've been to the Midio or baseball field, it's kind of weird. It's their football field, and you get some weird angles. And the double he hit might have hit the road if it was here in Madison. It was a shot. So big double there with 2 RBIs for Tanner. That gave us the 2 runs, insurance runs at the time, to go up 4-0. And Jack Fernolds got us on the board. Jackson Fernolds went 1 for 3 with 2 RBIs, and that was the first 2 runs of the game for us to put us up 2-0. So at the end, Mineota loaded the bases, and Grant Bierke came in. I'll tell you, Carter Moen started, gave us 6 wonderful innings. He had 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, 3 hits, 2 runs, and they were earned. He did hit 1 batter, and then Grant Bierke came in for the last inning, and the bases ended up loaded somehow. It was just some oddity. There was a hit by pitch, and there was an error behind him, and maybe just a weird, I can't remember the exact situation, but somehow the bases got loaded, and Grant worked out of it. He threw 1 inning, he got the save, gave up, struck out 3, no walks, only gave up a hit and no runs, and then there was no earned. So that put us into Friday's big game, as we were undefeated in the conference and facing a very good Dawson team with only 1 loss in the conference also. And it was a good game. And like you said, a huge crowd, great atmosphere for the guys. Felt like a playoff game already. And that's where we want to be at, and that's what we want the kids to get used to, being in those big moments in those big games. We ended up losing 5-2. Dawson got up first. They put up 3 runs in the third, but we backed it up with 2 runs in the fourth, and then they scored 2 more in the sixth to come away with the 5-2 win. We scored 2 runs on 3 hits, and we didn't commit an error, so it was a well-played ball game. It came down to basically they got some C&I singles and we didn't. Yeah. So and that's baseball. That's what we talked to the guys afterwards, is, you know, baseball is that way. We can play a really good game and so can they, and it's just, that's just the way that it turns out. So
pitcher's duel as well.
Yeah, you know, it was. They gave us some free bases, but we also gave them some free bases, and that's part of the game also. That's why they have it in the scorebook, I guess. So on the day, we only had 3 hits, and that's something we did talk about, is being a little bit more disciplined at the plate after the game. I don't know if we took some of the best cuts when we were ahead in the count. So still a learning process. We want to take care of that now before playoffs start. And when playoffs starts, that's when it really matters. So on the day, Gavin Mortensen was 1 for 3 with a stolen base. Brant Schomer is 1 for 2 with a run and a stolen base. Jackson Fernold scored a run. And Carter Moen was 1 for 3 with an RBI. Starting on the mound for us was Nolan Smith, our senior. He took the loss. He pitched 6 innings, 5 strikeouts, 4 walks, 6 hits, 5 runs, and 5 earned runs, and he had 3 hit batters. So we were looking at the score box. The pitchers were throwing strikes. They were getting out of jams. I think we ended up giving 7 free passes, and they ended up giving 6 free passes. So, you know, it wasn't like we were giving them away and they weren't. It was just they beat us is how it came out. So it was a good ball game, and we want to move on and start fresh again, and we see Minnewaska next Tuesday and then playoffs the following Saturday.
JV on the week?
Yeah, so JV played KMS. I should have wrote it down. I kind of forgot how that ended up. I think we ended up beating KMS and losing to Mineota, and then last night in Dawson we ended up losing to Dawson also.
Okay.
So junior high had quite a few games this week too, and I should know since I have an 8th grade son, but I kind of lost track of how that ended up. But I think they had 3 games this week.
Okay. So you finish out your regular season on Tuesday, and then I think probably Wednesday we'll get the seating for
you. Yes, yep. So we go up to Minnewaska for the first time in a really long time. It's going to be a 4 o'clock game. They're going to do a little ceremony for a 10-year I don't want to say reunion, but 10-year celebration for their new stadium that they put up. It's very similar setup to what Madison is. I told them when we were there, I said, if you guys set up like Madison, there's not a bad sun. And so yeah, they set the field up like that. So a beautiful field. We're excited to go up there and get some more at-bats and get some more people on the mound. And then on Wednesday, the seating should come out. Usually before noon, we'll know where it's at. Right now, we're sitting where it's looking like. Of course, I don't want to speak too soon, but it's looking like Dawson would probably be the number 1 seed in the north, and we would probably be the number 2 seed in the north, so we both would host games next Saturday.
Okay, that's a possibility. But and then Minnewaska has another ballpark right next to the one you'll be playing, so the JV will be playing probably at the same time.
Yep, they'll be playing the same time, back-to-back, right next door to each other, for sure.
Well, anything else?
You know, wrapping up the regular season, we're really excited where we're sitting. I think the team feels really good where we're at. We're putting the ball in play and play good baseball as we're wrapping up the season. So that's what we're moving forward on.
And yesterday was, no question, the best weather day of the season. So we hope Tuesday is the same and next Saturday and following
As many as we can keep playing, right. Yes, that's what we're shooting for. And it's finally starting to feel like baseball weather again.
For sure. Thanks, Darby.
All right, thank you, guys.
Darby Viragon on baseball, and John Cherb is in the studio talking boys and girls track after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Spring into savings at the Country Butcher in Dawson. This week's specials are here, and they're too good to pass up. Bone-in pork chops, just $2.20 a pound. Frozen white-wrapped steaks, 25% off. Perfect for firing up the grill or stocking your freezer with quality meats at a great price. Stop in and see us this week. We've got everything you need for delicious home-cooked meals. The Country Butcher's open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 5:30, Saturday, 9 to 1, and closed Sunday and Monday.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Yeah. Okay, back here at the studio, John Cherb's in there talking track, boys and girls track, and it turned out of all the sports, I think you guys had the best weather day, except for yesterday for Darby in baseball.
Yeah, we went over Tuesday. We were supposed to have a meet Tuesday, and I was a little concerned about it because I'm driving from Dawson to Lac, and all of a sudden I can't see a quarter mile in front of me. There's so much dirt in the air. I'm like, going, God, we're still having a meet, and it's like nothing got changed, and all of a sudden there was a call question if we're going to have it or not. It's just like this should have been done a long time, and that goes with experience. You got two young coaches there, and you got an athletic director who's never hosted a track meet, not knowing how to put it on. So it's just inexperience of how to put it on. So
where?
At McCray.
Okay.
So then we went there. We got there, and the goalpost was already down. The high jump mat got flipped and thrown into the goalpost, tore the uprights down. So the uprights are on the ground. Then I was walking to camp over, and all of a sudden Dave Wick, who is former athlete out of Milan, and he ended up coaching at Monticello. He's timing the system. He walks to me, he goes, I don't think I can keep. I'll get a picture on the finish line because the wind is so stand is going to shake so bad with that wind. And I looked and I said, if that's the case, we can't have it. Made an easy call on that one. So then I just told Dave, I said, if you don't think so, you back me on this. I'll recommend that we need to move it. And got it covered, started talking to other coaches, started getting it pushed around a little bit. And we decided we can't do the meet. It's just the track's a gorgeous track, gorgeous facility, but there's nothing to the west. So when you're getting 50-mile-an-hour winds coming off the west, there is nothing to slow it down.
In Clara City.
It's on the north side. It's on the football field where it was on the north side. They had an old track back in there in the 90s. But the facility is nice. It's just so wide open.
Yeah.
In 20 years, it'll kind of look like Tracy Milroy's track has got a lot of trees around. Now, when that first was put up in the 80s, that was really small trees. Now it's just, you got a great wind prediction, but nothing there. So coaches got together, basically looked at dates and looking at the weather forecast. Weather forecast looked crappy on Thursday. That was our backup date. And the coaches looked at, can we go tomorrow? All the coaches agreed what time to start and everything else. So we moved to a Wednesday start, which was really good because we just, it was clear cut what we decided to do. Time starting, getting events. You know, the bad thing is it's tough for schools because, again, now you got teachers gone for the second day. You got kids gone for the second day. So it's a bad scenario, and now you got kids that are maybe gone for something. So it's, but at least you got it in, and that's the good. And the weather was just great. I mean, you couldn't have really imagined how nice the weather it was. It was just that really a sound. We started at 10 o'clock with events, and we were moving, and we were home. I think we were home by about a little after 4. So it was really a nice meet to get through, and the kids competed very well. I thought our kids handled it well and went through it. So going in, you know, the conference we knew it was going to be tough. There's some teams that just where you fit in. So girls, we knew it was probably going to be, you know, Canby, McCray, Lakeview, then us, and then the boys. I figured it's going to be Lakeview chasing them a little bit. If we do our job and get a little help, we'll be fine. It was good. It was a great performance of the kids. And in the boys' 100-meter dash, Elvis Belfi was fourth at 12.42. Jake Johnson was 19th at 13.16. 200-meter dash, Isaac Blum was third at 24.61. 13th was Adrian Specht at 26.05. And then Mason Bothan was 19th at 26.83. And 400-meter dash, Cale Tufter was third, 55.66. Beckett Anderson was 7th at 57.03. 800-meter run, Tanner Callis was 4th at 2.14.10. And then also had Kentaro Sorrell at 15th at 2.34.83. And Eddie Felton was in 16th at 2.40.03. Mile, we had a little of an issue in the mile. Colin Rosendahl ended up finishing 13th at 5.55. The reason why he was so far back is on his second from last temp in the pole vault at 9.6, he rolled his ankle really bad. So we taped him up, guy trying to get take care of him, see what we can do. He hobbled through a little bit of it just to try to, and it wasn't good. So it was just he kind of beat himself up a little bit there, so we pulled him out of there. Same thing, he started a 2 mile, but we pulled him out of the 2 mile. Just said that's just not worth it. Thought maybe it loosened up or something like that. Matthew Bothan in the 2 mile finished 6th at 12:51.69, and that is his personal best there. Riley Borman won the 110 hurdles. That was a big event for us winning. That was kind of, we penciled events that we needed to do well in. 110 was one of them, and the 300 hurdles, we had those. 110, he finished first with 18.14. Just again, that's the strength we needed. Our problem is just we got doubled up. So if we're chasing Lakeview, he gets a first, but Lakeview goes second and third. So now we're not gaining a heck of a lot on them. It's basically turning into we lose 2 points. So that's where we kind of got beat up. Like same thing, the 200, we went third, but they went 1-2-4. So that's just point killers there. 300 hurdles, Riley Borman was fifth at 49.82. 4x1s, and our relay teams really ran well. We ran, I think, pretty much every relay team ran a personal best in there. And 4x1 boys were second, just 0.05 of a second from winning it. That's how close they were in it. But that 47.32, Josh Weber, Mason Bothan, Elvis Belafile, Isaac Blum. Then in the 4x2, same scenario. Boys really got into a good one there. They finished second again. Isaac Blum, Mason Bothan, Elvis Belafile, and Cale Tufthill. And that was 1:37.93. 4x4, boys ended up finishing third, 3:48.24. That was Beckett Anderson, Cale Tufthill, Caden Brent, and Tanner Callis. 4x8, we rearranged the 4x8 just because we needed to move some kids around, and our kids really ran well. Probably the one of the biggest surprise was Armando. Armando Higueria, he basically PR'd by 15 seconds in the 4x8. And that was really impressive. I mean, he looked good the whole way, and that was a big leg for us. But Matthew Bothan, Tanner Callis, Kentaro Sorrell, and Armando Higueria, they finished in fourth with 9:41.64. Shot put. Now, one thing on the field events you'll notice, the field events, they take 9 in the finals. So you've got to get in the finals, and then your mark will count. And your mark still counts. Well, our jumpers found out that's a little bit tougher on the body. But Gabe Lowry made the finals, which that he wasn't seeded to make finals. So that's a good improvement there. He still finished ninth with a personal best of 34 feet, 9 inches. Discus, Gabe made the finals also in the discus. He was seventh at 95.8. Oh, I should mention Tucker Lyons was 15th in the shot, 32 feet 5. And then Eli Arado was 18th in the shot, also at 29.11. In the discus behind Gabe, Eli was 18th at 75.9. And then Tucker Lyons was 20th at 74 feet 9 inches. High jump was kind of one of our bigger ones. And Jackson was just worn out because he was going 3 jumps in triple, then 3 jumps in finals. 3 jumps in long jump, 3 jumps in finals. Now you're coming over, and now you're jumping in the high jump. Dead legs, and you haven't done it all year. It does take its toll. Plus, that sun was bright enough. It zaps a little bit. So he was not as sharp as he still PR'd in it, but he could tell he was dead legged. Because I think Joel had said at, I want to say 5'2", he struggled at 5'2". He hit the bar twice at 5'2", and almost didn't get over 5'2", and got over 5'2", on his third attempt, but then got sharp the rest of the way through. But he finished third. 5'10". Elvis Belafile was kind of a new one. Joel had kind of eyed him a little bit in practice and looked, let's give him a shot. So he had a little jump off in there. He finished fifth overall, 5'6". That's a personal best for him. And then Cale Tufto was 10th at 5'. Then pole vault, Colin was fourth. Like I said, he rolled his ankle really bad in there. But again, he finished fourth at 9 feet. And Kantara Sorrell was 11th at 7 feet. Long jump. Beckett Anderson was 5th at 18 feet 4.5 inches. Jackson Hassett was 6th at 17 feet 10 inches. And then Caden Brent was 9th at 17 feet 1 inches. Triple jump was one of our big ones going in. Thought we could do well, and we did. We went 1-3-4, so that's a big run there for points. Beckett Anderson won it, 40 feet 3 and 3 quarters. And then Caden Brent was in 3rd. At 38 feet 9, and Jackson Hastad was in 4th at 38 feet 6 at 5 inches. And I believe that's all personal best for all three of them. So you got to really like the way they went after things and competed. And the girls, 100-meter dash, Greta Fernals was our top runner there. She was 14th at 14.44. Greta Hacker was in 20th at 14.87. Micaiah Poost was 5th in the 200, 27.89. Kara Mamali was 8th. At 28.85, I believe for both of those, that's personal best for them. And then Morgan Anderson ran a personal best also. She finished 6th at 30.38. And in the 400, now this is where we kind of tweaked some things. We went back to Bryn doing the challenging double of the 4.8 double. And I talked to her earlier, just again, our goal is to win both. But if you don't win both, it's not that big a deal. We got more points than we would have got anyways out of the relay. So that's why we went with this rotation. She won it, just missed breaking 1 minute. She won it with a 1.45. And then Julissa Ramos was 16th at 1.11.86. And that was probably the best she's looked in this season, Julissa did in that one. That was a good leg out of her. Then Bryn came back about 25 minutes and ran the open 8. Really conservative, just kind of sitting with people, just letting them. Girl took it out 4, and she just sat behind her, then just kind of pulled up, and then just kind of took the lead with about 410 meters ago, and then just pretty much controlled the lead all the way through. She won it, 229.10. Talia Hersham was 7th at 243.98, and then Cambrie Larson was 13th at 258.16. The mile, Chloe Glegge was 5th at 551.81. 2 mile, Chloe was also 4th in the 2 mile at 13.30. So finishing there. 100 hurdles, Alexis Olson was 6th at 19.24. Ella Stock was 15th at 21.94. And Cameron Olson was 16th at 22.22. Alexis Olson was 5th in the 300 hurdles at 56.44. In the 4x1, and again, Alex, our relay teams looked really good. Macy Coyer was 5th in that 4x1. That's the best time we ran all year, 56.04. That was Macy, Kara, Emerson, and Julissa. 4x2 really snapped one off there. They proved by over 2 seconds on their mark to end up holding off onto a second-place finish She actually chased down a Lakeview girl. Julissa chased the Lakeview girl down at the end and caught it right at the end. to finish second with a time of 156.24, and that was the same four of Macy, Kara, Emerson, and and Jalissa. And then we went to the 4x4s. 4x4s, starting to figure some of this out. They finished second overall. Micaiah Poos, Brandon Galecki, Sadie Rose, now Tali Hurstam. They went 4:21, 4:09. 4x8s, that's where we kind of changed it a little bit. Just took Bryn out of there, see what we can do. And the girls ran really well. Cam did a nice job filling in there. They ended up finishing third with a time 11:14, 7:02. That was Harper, Grunholz, Cambry Larson, Micaiah Poos, and Tali Hurstam. Shot put, Shayla Meyer had a really nice day in the shot and disc. She finished third in the shot, 30 feet 4 inches, which I believe is a personal best, so I was talking to her on that. She also came back in the discus, finished third also at 109.11, and I believe that's a personal best by, I want to say, 8 feet, I want to say, or she just broke first time breaking the hundreds, right in that area. High jump girls, Sadie Rosenthal was fourth at 4'7". Emerson Erdman was eighth at 4'5". Pole vault, Sadie Rosenthal finished the pole vault at 6 at 6 foot. Harper Grunholz was 7th at 6 foot also. Long jump, Morgan Anderson was 13th at 13.7. And Reese Kuzman was 19th at 12 feet 3 and a half. And then Felicia Bond was 21st at 11 feet. Triple jump, Morgan Anderson won her first conference champion, which is really nice to see her do that. Finished first with a 32 feet 6 inches. Alexa Olson was second, so it's a nice 1-2 punch on the girls' side. She finished 31 feet 10 and a half inches. And then Reese Kuzma was 10th at 29 feet 1 and 3 quarters. Scoring-wise, boys end up finishing second. And we've got a lot of talent. It's just we don't have something like big knockers or the big horses out there. We don't have them yet. We got a few, but again, Lakeview, I was going to total up and figure out, but I bet you Lakeview won at least 6 events, and we only won 2 on the boys. And that's a lot of points you're giving up, and then depth-wise, too. But hopefully these guys have learned a little bit, but it was good to see them compete, because I think one of the kids made a comment after meet there. You know how these programs have all the projected placing of teams. They had us placing 5th in the team scoring. So we ended up finishing 2nd, so that's a really good improvement where the kids competed. Girls end up finishing, Lakeview won at 158, we were 2nd with 94, and then Central Minnesota Christian was at 76, and TMB at 65. Girls, just Camby, it turned into a really big dogfight with Camby and Lakeview and McCray. There was only basically 12 points separating between 1st and 3rd. Camby ended up winning with 132, Lakeview at 124, McCray at 120, we were 4th at 90, and then TMB at 40. So just a gorgeous meet. I wish we could put that in a can and hang on to that every stinking meet, because that was a gorgeous day. And I just, like I said, just hopefully this is something we can continue to go with it.
What's on tap next?
Next week we go to subsections in Monty. So now we're basically, you qualify for the next round. So that will be, I believe it's a 4 o'clock start for field at Monty. And I think it's like a 4:45 for running events. Top 4 will qualify from each event. They will also have performance lists. They'll take the other 2 subsections, put all 3 subsections together, then they'll bring 4 at-large personnel out. So even if you don't finish top 4, if you finish 5th, but if you have a good enough performance list, you can get in, so you can go that way. So we're going to try to qualify as many. We're going to change a lot of things up. We were trying to score points, and now we're going to try to score, qualify as many we can, kids into the section meet. And that's kind of our dream right there. So we've got to do some changing a little bit, but see what happens. Now it's hard to believe. It's where we're at now. It's RA tournament time, and with very, very few meets this year.
And that subsection is when?
Monty on Thursday.
Thursday. Okay, so you got 3 days of practice.
And that'll be good. Get some practice and get some reps. We got some kids, because they had some kids with sore on Friday, so I'll just see where they're at. But see what happens. I think they're ready for the next step.
All right. So best of luck on Thursday, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Cherb on Boys and Girls Track. After the break, we'll be talking softball.
Tuesday, Q92 Sports has Section 3A softball from La Caprile Valley High School. As the number 2 seed, La Caprile Valley Eagles host the 7-seeded Dawson Boyd Blackjacks in an elimination round. First pitch, 2 o'clock, Tuesday afternoon, right here on Q92. It's the Eagles and Blackjacks in section softball.
Thank you.
Graduation is a time to celebrate your achievements, prepare for a future of opportunities, and embrace a world of infinite possibilities. Fernald's Crop Insurance in Madison congratulates the following La Caparo Valley graduates: Kate Alstead, Megan Williamson, Macy Zarbach, Elias Alonzo, Abby Amlin, Orlando Avila, Alexis Bendel, and Raya Borstead. Fernald's Crop Insurance in Madison wishing all area graduates the best of luck in their future endeavors. Fernald's Crop Insurance, Madison.
Let's take a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. The 20th annual Taste of Sitting to My in Milan going on from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. with a variety of activities we've been telling you about. Come and go bridal shower for Jessica Sigdahl, bride-to-be of Jaden Estigo. It'll be from 9:30 to 11:30 this morning at Grandma Joyce West's home at 720 Parkview Lane in Madison. Couple is registered at Amazon and at Target. Montevideo Fiesta Floral Plant Sale will be from 9 to noon today at the Montevideo Community Center in the Southtown Plaza. No early sales. Bring your own boxes to pick up your plants. Come and go 50th wedding anniversary celebration for Joel and Diane Benega will be today from 1 to 5 at the Kilowatt Community Center in Granite Falls. Come on over to the Marietta Community Center on Sunday from 11 to 1 for a chicken dinner, baked chicken, baked potato, green beans, and dessert and a beverage. The sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Committee, proceeds going to benefit local projects. They'll play bingo at 1 o'clock following the meal. Takeouts and in-town deliveries are available in Marietta on Sunday. Just call 320-668-2187. It's Saturday, May 16th. We say happy birthday today to Gary Redepenning, Kyoko Dahlman, Chad Heinrich, Andrew Kirby, Scott Wittenable and Nassoff, Josie Lossick, Finley Larson, 7 years old today, Emily Amlin in Woodstock, Minnesota, celebrating on Saturday. Sunday, happy birthday to Michelle Bungarden, Chris Hansen, Tara Walker, Ryan Swenson, Eric Hansen, Janice Novak and Pam Jacobson, mother and daughter, Jim Strand, Chris Lubke and Ellery Olson celebrating birthday number 10. Hope you all have a great day and a great weekend.
Back here at the station talking girls softball, and a busy week for you, Scott.
Yeah, it kind of was. You know, starting on Saturday, we'd recorded last week's show, and we were on our way to Obasso and had three competitive games there, and then We had our season finale against Mineota Cambie on Thursday. So yeah, it was.
So let's
talk about Obasso.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Well, we started off in Obasso and you know, we've worked hard to just kind of get competitive games where we're going out and seeking different teams, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but we're looking for section opponents you know, the South has some pretty stout teams, and so at this Wabasso tournament, we were able to, in all three of our games, we were able to see some Section 3A South opponents. So we started off with Edgerton Southwest Christian, and they're annually, they have a solid program, solid team, well-coached, athletic players. And we locked in with them and had really just an outstanding, very competitive game. First four innings were scoreless, so we were kind of duking it out. Ava Deline threw for us and was just absolutely outstanding. We did give up two runs in the fifth and another run in the top of the sixth, but answered back by scoring a run in the bottom of the sixth. So we're starting to kind of get on their pitcher a little bit. They did. Edgerton scored another insurance run in the top of the seventh, and we just couldn't respond. It was one of those things where, you know, they had a nice pitcher, but I felt like, I really did feel like we'd get on her eventually, and we just didn't. Our bats weren't quite as hot as they have been. Like I told the girls yesterday, our bats are warm. They're not hot. That's kind of a big piece for us, but we played well defensively. We made some nice plays in the field. We had two errors, but, you know, nothing that was crippling. On the day, Maddie Geiser was 1-for-3, on that game. Abby Amlin was 2-for-3. She scored our lone run. Sadie Zarbuck was 1-for-3. She had the lone RBI for us. And we ended up with 6 hits on the day. So we did have a hard time getting things rolling, but you know, our highlight, I thought our defense played pretty well. And then Ava DeLean was probably had her best game of the season through all seven innings for us. She only gave up six hits, and from the looks of it, they had some decent hitters, a couple slap hitters in there. She gave up four runs. All four of them were earned. But statistically, this was big for her. She had 10 strikeouts and only two walks. And so it just, where she was getting ahead in the count, so we were able to throw her changeup in there. The changeup was keeping their hitters off balance, and she did a nice job. She only threw 109 pitches, and in softball, that's not a ton. So kept us in the game, gave us every chance that we could, and I just couldn't have been prouder of you know, how she did. It was a loss, but I thought we played very well, and that will be a team that will probably be in the thick of things to some degree in the section tournament coming up here. Okay. So then we moved on to Maury County Central in our second game, again a section opponent, and we had Riley Clark throw that game. Riley did a nice job for us as well, did everything we needed her to do, got ahead in the counts, threw strikes, made them earn their trips to the bases. She gave up 10 hits, 9 runs, 7 of them were earned, had 5 strikeouts and 2 walks, but again, like I said, did a nice job and gave us opportunities. Defensively, we did all right. There were a few mental mistakes that maybe didn't get recorded as errors in this game, so just some lapses in judgment with different situational things in the game that hurt us a little bit and caused some momentum swings that weren't in our favor. Aiden Bond was 1-for-2, scoring a run. She had 2 walks, so again, finding her way on base. Callie Kahn was 1-for-3, scoring twice with an RBI. Maddie Geiser was 1-for-4. Abby Amland was 2-for-3. And Carson Wittenable was 2-for-3. So, we had 7 hits. Again, warm. Our bats were warm. They weren't hot. Callie Kahn had a triple. That was kind of one of the sparks in our game. But we ended up losing that game 9-4. And this is MCC is a team that we beat early in the season. I think the score was 7-5 or something like that. So, kind of a tough one to lose, but it is what it is. And then we bounced back for our third game of the day. We had TMB, who we've also played once. They beat us earlier in the season, 10-6, in a pretty decent, pretty good game. As a matter of fact, and they ended up scoring 4 runs in the seventh to beat us in that previous game. So we figured this would be a dogfight. The bats definitely started to heat up, so that was promising as we're trickling into section play here. We ended up with 12 hits on the day, in that game. Ava DeLean threw for us again, and I was planning to have her throw half of the game and Riley Clark throw the other half of the game. Maya Mortensen was gone. She's our third pitcher, so... But Ava was doing what we needed her to do. Statistically it says that she gave up 15 hits and 10 runs, 8 of them were earned. She had 2 strikeouts and 4 walks. But again, was giving us opportunities, putting the ball in play. Just one of those games where some of the hits were just happened to be where we weren't, and didn't feel like she was getting hit very hard, and that's the way the game goes sometimes. But it was a battle for inning by inning. I mean, we were just scoring runs back and forth. We ended up tying it up in the seventh. Actually, we went ahead in the seventh, 9-8. They came back and answered, scored a run, so it was 9-9. So we went into extra innings. In extra innings in these tournaments, they end up putting a runner on second base automatically. So whoever your last out is on second base. So our last out happened to be Aiden Bond, which is great because she's an awesome base runner. So I've got Aiden Bond on second base and the number 2 hitter, Callie Kahn, and the meat of my lineup coming up. And we were able to generate a run there, had a miscue on the bases where we maybe could have and should have had a couple more. And then the unfortunate piece is TMB answered in the bottom of the eighth and scored 2 runs to oust us with a 10-9 extra inning victory. So that was kind of a bummer. We had on the day Callie Kahn was 1-for-3, scoring twice. Maddie Geiser was 3-for-4, scoring a run, had an RBI. Abby Hamlin was 2-for-5 with 2 RBIs. Sadie Zarbuck was 2-for-4, scoring 3 times. And Carson Whitnable had a big game here, going 4-for-4 with 4 RBIs. So we went 0-for-3 on the day, played 3 very competitive games, which we talk about, hey, you know, this is, we just need a few things to happen, some bats to heat up a little bit and some base running decisions, and we got to keep playing well and sound defensively, and our pitchers need to keep throwing strikes. And I think we're a team that's kind of scary here as we head into section play. Then on Thursday, we hosted Mineota Canby, and there, I don't believe they have a loss in the conference this year, so they're a tough team. They've got a horse in Madison Hennon who's just solid. She's finally a senior. I told her after the game, it's really been fun to compete against her. But I'm really happy that she's graduating too. So anyway, she was locked in. I mean, she throws gas, she has a rise ball, and she has a changeup that she's really developed nicely, and it just, she did a nice job of keeping our hitters off balance and ended up throwing a no-hitter against us. But on the positive side, Ava DeLean was an animal in this game. She and our defense was too. Ava threw all 7 innings for us, gave up 4 hits, and Mineota's a team that's been scoring runs, kind of like us. They've got a nice lineup and whatnot, but Ava just, she got ahead in the count. Her changeup was outstanding. She was hitting corners. And she gave up 2 runs, 2 of them were earned, had 3 strikeouts and 1 walk. So when we talk about 3 strikeouts, that means that the ball was in play, you know, a little bit too. And I just want to really celebrate our defense. We made some outstanding plays. We had 1 error on the day, and I don't even really remember where that was. But we made our outfield made outstanding plays. We had a do-or-die situation where they had a runner on third with 1 out. Fly ball, the wind was blowing in pretty heavy, but the fly ball to right field, Raya Borsted came charging up on it, catches it, throws an absolute dart to home plate, stalling their runner on third base. With 2 outs, they hit a fly ball. I think it was out to Callie Kahn, and she makes a nice play out of a jam to preserve some runs. We did have some opportunities. We got some runners on at one point on second and third with, I think, 1 out, and Hennon locked in and got out of a pickle there. Probably our Achilles heel this year has been laying sack bunts down, so we've been working hard on trying to find ways that we can have success in those crucial moments, because like we talked to the girls, these are, you know, we're going to start getting into some games here where we got to win by a run. And to generate a run or two is a big deal. So anyway, we did get beat 2-0, but maybe the best game as a team that we've played all season long, and we won't see a pitcher like Hennon again. You know, Sneller at YME, she's tough. But I don't know. I just feel like we're going to see some pitchers now that our bats are going to be able to handle, and we'll see what happens if we can keep playing like this. I'm really excited about section play, and we'll see what can happen.
Yeah, the section results came out for seeding, and you get to be at home first round.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we got some real favorable results, and so we had gone towards the end of the season. We had gone to KMS, and we knew that. We knew we needed at least a split there, and preferably, of course, a sweep. It was a doubleheader, and we did get the split. And I just wasn't sure how things were going to land. If you looked at Minnesota scores, it was they were placed ahead of us. But if you really look deep into it, I think our coaches who vote on this got it right, and I appreciate that because, you know, we play 20 games in a regular season, and 18 of our 20 games are against section opponents because we're out there looking for competition, and we're not looking for games that we're going to destroy people in. We're looking for games that are going to make us better. And unfortunately, sometimes that equates to a loss here and there. But we've competed in those games, and I think our coaches maybe recognize that, and I appreciated that. So we ended up with a two seed, and we get to host on Tuesday. We will play at 2 o'clock. We will play Dawson Boyd, and then the game after that, KMS will play Benson. Whoever in both of those games, whoever loses is done. It's single elimination in that first game, so you got to get that first game. And then the winners will face off, and once you win, it turns into a double elim tournament. And so, you know, if the softball gods are in our favor and we can find a way to win that first game, then we'll play the winner of KMS and Benson at roughly 5 o'clock on Tuesday at Lacaparo. So we're hoping we can get some people out and enjoy the new facilities out there. We're going to be grilling hot dogs and cheeseburgers, and we'll have everything ready to rock and roll. And yeah, should be a great day.
Yeah, and it's tough for the facility that's hosting it, because a lot of times the workers are faculty members, and they'll be in class yet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So I know Zach Stelter, the activities director, is looking for help, and I know I volunteered some services there on whatever he needs done, but hope some other people can do the same, because everybody's working for adults as well. So, but
thanks for bringing that up, Dick.
They'll find the crew, and then there'll be spectators too. So come on out in force.
Support your
teams.
Yeah, we for sure. We really appreciate our workers. We really would love to have people out, checking things out and supporting the team and rooting for everybody and just enjoying everything. So, and a big thank you to Zach too. There's a lot of work that goes into this, and our maintenance crew. Because they're going to be putting in some extra hours on a day like that, getting fields ready and all of that. So, it's exciting. It's a lot of work to host, but I'd rather be in that situation than going somewhere else. So.
Right. And then when that's over Tuesday, what would happen to the winners?
Yep. So the winners will end up playing on Saturday in Marshall.
Okay.
So that'll, and then. Then from there on out, everything pretty much happens in Marshall.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for the report on that, and best of luck. And I guess we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning. But also, I think Paul Ramo will be out there broadcasting. Yeah, for sure, he's shaking his head, so he'll be out there broadcasting games. So.
And we appreciate that, too. I do want to give a quick little shout-out to our C-Squad team.
Sure.
I'm actually getting ready to head on the road and head to Morris right now. They have a tournament here today, so we're going to be down there competing. They had a busy week this week. They beat Ortonville 9-3 on Monday. They lost to TMB on Tuesday in a dogfight 6-7. On Thursday, they beat Montevideo 12-11, which was a nice bounce back because Montevideo had beaten us earlier in the year. And then on Friday, they beat Dawson 15-5, and then now we're going to go to Morris and play two games today. So they've got some ball in this week, so that'll be good. I'm excited to see it today.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Scott.
Awesome. As always, thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. That's Scott Sawatsky on girls softball. After the break, we'll finish out our coaches show.
The Lacaparo Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Traeger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borset Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotr Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Milan Fire Department, The Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our home run sponsors for, and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
Lee Motor Company in Dawson says graduation is an exciting time and marks both an ending and a beginning. It's warm memories of the past and big dreams for the future. This graduating salute comes to you from Lee Motor Company in Dawson. Tuesday, Q92 Sports has Section 3A softball from La Caprile Valley High School as the number 2 seed La Caprile Valley Eagles host the 7-seeded Dawson Boyd Blackjacks in an elimination round. First pitch, 2 o'clock, Tuesday afternoon, right here on Q92. It's the Eagles and Blackjacks in section softball. Fieldcrest Fertilizer of Madison says hats off to the following La Caprile Valley graduates: Logan Kleiberg, R.J. Kuzman, Taylen Kranz, Malcolm Lilliard, Ian Long, Garrett Longman, Gabe Lowry, and Lindsay Ludvigson. It's the sincere wish of Fieldcrest Fertilizer of Madison that you have a prosperous future and continued success. This graduating message comes from Fieldcrest Fertilizer, Madison.
Back here at the studio, closing out the show, just a reminder that Bart Hill's son, Brandon Hill, is a coach up at Alexandria Vocational School, Voltech Community College, and they're currently in a regional tournament, and in the top spot, they defeated Rochester in a come from behind game. Yep. to get to the finals.
They were down 10-0.
Wow!
And they came back in a 3-run home run gave in the bottom of the 9th inning, gave them a 1-point victory, a walk off home run, 3-run home run to win 13-12. And now Century College will be playing St. Cloud Tech, and the winner of that will play Alexandria for the right to go to the Community College World Series in Tennessee.
Yep. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Congratulations to Brandon. I know Bart and Julie are up there cheering them on today, and hopefully they can get to Tennessee.
I think their record right now is 37-9.
Wow.
And most of their 9 losses came in their spring training games against some of the teams that will also be at that World Series. So they, on purpose, scheduled some of the top teams, hoping that they would get to this point, and they are, and we'll cheer them on today as well. So that kind of wraps up our show again. Did not talk to Molly Hennon about boys volleyball because they take a long break now before that section tournament is, and of course everything is going to be held down in the metro area, and they haven't had that seating meeting yet. So once they have that, I think we'll probably get her on next week to go through that. So that'll wrap it up.
Yeah, so we got a couple a minute here. So just a reminder, as Scott Swassey said, Section 3A softball happens Tuesday. The Eagles will play Dawson Boyd at 2 o'clock, single elimination. Then the winner will play at 5 o'clock, either against KMS or Benson.
Right.
And we'll have that 5 o'clock game on the radio as well. So,
okay.
All right, you got some jokes for us, Dick?
Well, a couple little-known facts, I guess. Did you know that oak trees, they do not produce acorns until they are 50 years old or older before they start dropping acorns off the tree? The first product to have a barcode on it was Wrigley's gum. And the King of Hearts is the only king that doesn't have a mustache. Did you know that? So And one final one. A duck's quack doesn't echo, and nobody really knows why. But I think Paul's going to try to look up why, but nobody knows. So, once again, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning, and just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Virginia's voting map won't budge. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. The Supreme Court has sunk plans by Virginia Democrats to redistrict ahead of the midterms.
This was a brief unsigned order by the Supreme Court, and no justice publicly dissented. Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberg is now criticizing the high court's decision, saying it goes against what Virginians had voted for. She says, as governor, I will make sure voters know when and how to cast their votes this year, because our votes are how we choose the representation we deserve. The state Supreme Court ruled the legislative process to advance this redistricting proposal violated their constitution. They argue it was proposed when voting had already started, meaning those who cast early ballots were not given a chance to respond. The ruling by the Supreme Court means Virginia's current map will stay in place for November.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Polling stations are open across Louisiana as voters decide a heated Republican Senate primary.
It's a primary that some expect may lead to a runoff election, as incumbent Senator Bill Cassidy is fighting to defend his seat against several challengers. But Trump and his allies, including Republican Governor Jeff Landry, are backing Congresswoman Julia Letlow in the Senate primary.
Well, you're not handed out an endorsement. You have to earn it. And it means everything to Louisianans. Trump's approval ratings are still 90% in Louisiana. We are huge fans of the president. And so, yes, to have his belief and his endorsement means everything in this race.
And 6 years ago, Senator Cassidy cruised to re-election, but since that time, he was one of only seven Senate Republicans who voted in early 2021 to convict Trump after he was impeached by the House for his role in the January 6th riot.
Fox's Chanley Painter. A global ISIS leader has been killed in Nigeria. President Trump says the mission took out the most active terrorist in the world. America's listening to Fox News.
From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South.